the house. That moves. Just like the ocean. Just like the ocean. Just like the ocean.
In. Here we go. Tons to go through as always, so these podcasts I'll be plugging in just to go over all sorts of current events. Getting lots of info through gives me a chance to break it all down. So thanks for listening. Boy, we really do live in a sick world, that's for sure, a really sick world, and it seems to be getting worse by the day. And I was looking at an article that came out about a day or two ago in one of the newspapers. A lot of it's all these Sunday Rupert Murdoch newspapers, and you know, all these newspapers that come out in Australia every day, it's just full of rubbish. It really is, a lot of it, you know, but you scour through and just poke through them and pick out things. I'm trying to sort of keep an eye on society and the world around me as I try to break it down and learn from my experiences on planet Earth. Just learn as we, as I move forward, just trying to break all this down in my mind and work out, what the hell's going on. But this was a really, really disturbing article, and hey, it's been going on for a long time, for sure. But this was, schoolgirls are flocking for lip filler injections. Sydney schoolgirls desperate to look like a Kardashian. A Kardashian, yes, at the celebrities in America with the huge bums, the plastic bums. Schoolgirls in Sydney, Australia, are desperate to look like them. I guess other countries are suffering from this as well. It's a cancer. They're all desperate to look like demons. You know, molded plastic wax-like demons that get propped up there in front of the cameras all the time. They have no mood. They have no expression. They're empty vessels just standing in front of the cameras as the flash goes off. They're all over the TV and all over the magazines and glossy magazines and newspapers and gossip columns and gossip magazines. Everywhere you look in this sick, demented world, these people like the Kardashians are there. And these poor, ignorant schoolgirls want to look like them. So they want to look like the Kardashians at their formals, and they're getting drastic cosmetic procedures done to themselves, to their faces, at an alarming rate to impress their peers. Lip fillers are among the most popular procedures with teens, with one 17-year-old who receives injections admitting she wanted to look like Kylie Jenner. This is another molded plastic demon that gets propped up in front of the cameras with no expression or personality. And a 21-year-old member of the Kardashian clan, the clan of demons. Experts have warned the pressure teenagers feel to look perfect has risen because of social media, with youngsters even telling practitioners they want their lips to look like some that have been doctored or Snapchatted. So the lips that are in all the magazine stuff, the fake ones, it's all photoshopped, you know. They want to have those lips, but they can't get them because they're not real. What a dangerous road. So these child psychologists, it's saying it's the Instagramification of teens was driving this disturbing trend, and also pointed the finger at the parents as well. You'd have to, wouldn't you? The mums and dads. What the hell's wrong with these people? Where's the mother and fathers, you know? And just for example, in Sydney now, in Australia now, it's school holidays. And I've been out and about. There's all these schoolies running around having their couple of weeks off or whatever it may be. A lot of primary school kids. And the other day I was picking up something from a local shop sort of around a mall. And there was hundreds of them all going in there. And all the young boys, I don't know, they're all trying to do the... trying to act like they're out of the Stranger Things series from Netflix, I guess. And all the boys, very, very undereducated, uneducated, and all over the place, really, with these very pretty girls. I mean, strikingly pretty girls at, you know, 14, 15. Some of the girls are going there with their parents. I just sort of take notes on all of this. My brain's always working. I'm always watching and just trying to break down everything and work it all out, you know. And watching these girls, they're walking into these places and they've got hardly any clothes on. You know, they're almost popping out, you know, and they're walking with their dads and their mums and these young girls. They couldn't be any more than 14 and 15. They've got all their, you know, they're popping out all over the place. Unbelievable what they're wearing, and it's happening too on Sydney's beaches. It's getting worse every summer. These really toxic fashion statements come in, and they got these like thread bikinis now, I guess, where it's really just like a floss. That's what we call them, like floss. And I grew up on the beaches, so on the beach I'm always in the salt water when I can. And you go down there in the summer and all these teenage girls come down there 14, 15, and they're little kids, you know, and then they take their clothes off and they've got these tiny little G-strings on, and I'm talking, you know, floss, a little bit of floss there. I mean, it's all popping out. It's just unbelievable that, you know, it doesn't match them. It doesn't work for them. It doesn't look good. It's terrible. It's something maybe a porn star or something would wear, you know, and they're wearing something that they shouldn't be wearing for that age. And I'm wondering, and sometimes you see the families there and the parents, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, what the hell's wrong with these dads? How can they let their daughters walk around like this? And it's happening all over the place as society slips further and further away. You know, we're just losing the plot. People don't know what's going on, obviously, and it's, I was thinking about this the other day, particularly with our young girls, you know, they really need to be molded, and they're so important. You know, I have a lot of experiences, chatting and being around these great young girls, you know, some of them, you know, even when they hit around 6 or 7 and they get put into primary schools, they're just so amazing, and then, of course, the schools bash it all out of them, you know. These when when young girls hit that 5 and 6 and 7 mark, they're just absolutely so cute. They're so precious, you know. And I'm seeing these teenage girls fall into this system. And I was thinking about it and talking about it to friends and stuff the other day about this social media, how it's just, it's really evil. You know, the devil. The devil in the detail? Is there a ghost in the machine? Or is the devil in the technology? It seems that the, you know, something is in this technology, this Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook and all this stuff that they're doing. And I was just watching all these kids going in and out of the malls and the shops and all around the place for the school holidays. And I couldn't see, not one of them didn't have a phone. They were all on the phone staring into these black phones, into these black mirrors. Every single one of them constantly, every single second, they're on these phones, looking in these phones, looking in these phones. And their phones are filled with pictures of themselves. And now I'm noticing that young kids are doing it. Young kids in primary school, the parents are giving them these phones. And you can see very quickly that when they get their hands on these iPhones and they get access to any kind of internet access or whatever it is, you can see there's a very, very rapid change. It's very quick, and they start to get pulled in, and they start to become self-obsessed. And that's what social media does as well. It does it to starting them off early, the children. It starts to make them self-obsessed. So it's this instant self-gratification of how I look and how I look, and they just take hundreds and hundreds of selfies. That's all they're doing all day, and they're constantly updating what they're doing, and they want to know what everyone thinks of them. It's an amazing generation that we, you know, it's incredible to see this, you know, going on right in front of your eyes, you know, and you're seeing all these young girls walking around in the streets and the malls and everywhere, down on the beaches and everything, in front of everybody with hardly any clothes on. Some of them, actually, in some of the shops that I've been in and stuff, these young teenage girls have actually got these kind of what they would call hot pants, like denim hot pants, and it looks like they've had an atomic wedgie, like they've just tried to pull it over their shoulders. You know, they're so high up. It's unbelievable. And I'm thinking, where are the parents? Why aren't the fathers instilling, proper ethics and morals and values into these children? And I guess they think that they are, but I just don't understand it. You know, I think that girls in particular, as they hit a certain age, they really need a father figure in their life, and they need to be shown how things are. And I'm not saying like you have to, you know, boss young girls around or be too strict in any way. I'm just saying that they need to know the right way. I mean, you need to guide them as best you can before they hit the teenage years. And then as they head towards 17 and 18, you need to make sure that they have a safe, secure, and proper flight, and that they know things like we're talking about right now. This is the sort of stuff, like what I'm talking about now, I already mention a lot of this stuff to my own child, because I want her to know, I want her to recognize danger, I want her to recognize the system around her. And that's what teenagers aren't being taught. They don't know about this system around them that is stalking them, that is eating their brains alive, you know. And, you know, it's amazing to me that 7-year-old girls have been given iPhones by their parents, and they're up in their rooms every night. They're watching these movies. They're watching Netflix. Has anyone watched Netflix? If you watch these shows directed at teenagers now, it's absolutely unbelievable. The whole culture is rotten. From top to bottom, you know, inside out, it's absolutely rotten. And you know, this really goes to show it. So, any parent who allows their kids to have this sort of procedure on their lips, on their faces, on their body, to get them injected so they can look like someone on a magazine that either doesn't exist or it's been photoshopped. That is weapons-grade stupidity, he said. So this guy's pretty cool. It's a psychologist, Michael Carr Gregg. That is a weapons-grade stupidity, he says. So very well. Very well said there. Indeed. And some of the owners of these stores, their face cosmetic stores, saying they're confirming that they had seen many teenagers begging their parents to sign release forms so they can get their lips injected. It's all about the Kylie Jenner and the Kardashian look. Can you believe that? I think they've been in Australia at some of these malls and places and there were stampedes. Imagine ruining your own body and stampeding over other people to see a demon. Unbelievable. Why would you want to look like a demon? That's what I don't understand. Why would a beautiful young teenage girl who's got her whole life ahead of her and has got beautiful young skin, the envy, you know, I mean, my God, they got everything to look forward to. They don't need to change a thing and they want to do all this to look like a demon. Because they've been tricked, probably by demons, through these black devices to want to look like them. And that's what the culture's pushing. You're talking about the money, the money. I mean, my God, how tight is money for most people? I mean, you know, you really got to, as you get older, you really got to look after your money. I mean, I'm really just in a system now of paying taxes and bills and things and trying to keep my head above water. I really am. You know, it's a struggle day to day. Everything's becoming so expensive. I mean, any spare money that I have, you know, is like a thrill, you know. I think the other day I went and purchased a really nice local bottle of gin made with local botanicals and stuff like that. It's nice to sip on, you know. My God, the young girls have been given money from their parents to go and get their lips injected defies belief. Where are they getting the money for this? How are they saving for money for this? You know, obviously the parents are giving them their home, they're complaining, they're begging their parents to give them the money for this. This is ridiculous. She said that she had to manage the girls' expectations because their perception of what looked normal had been warped by social media. Now, this is a true statement. There you go. Their perception of reality and the world around them has been completely and totally warped. It has been smashed to pieces. You know, completely, this is disturbing to the max. This is disturbing on steroids. And so their view of reality, or what they think reality is completely warped. It's a Twilight Zone, folks. And this is what these teenage girls think's normal. Demons. They will show. This is the lady that owns the shop. So they're saying that the teenagers will come in and they'll show her a pair of lips that have been cut out of or filtered or taken out of Snapchat. They say, I want these lips, but you have to make sure these young women know it is not realistic, she said. Unbelievable. This is going on. I mean, this is what the young girls are doing on their school holidays or after school or on the weekends. When they should be living their lives and learning, they want to get injections so they can look like a demon. You know, who do you think these people are, folks? Really, I mean, these Kardashians. You know, sickening people, disgusting, and they're causing so much. They should be put in prison, in my book. You know, unbelievably, there's a lot of great articles. If you look for it, if you type into your search engine anything about these Kardashians, you know, Kardashians are ruining womanhood, you know, ruining young women's minds, creating this toxic influence. That's what it is, a selfish, self-obsessed society. You know, they're destroying America. They've got these TV shows keeping up with the Kardashians, I guess, and there's people saying that the girls are watching this and they're becoming self-obsessed and selfish as they try to mimic these infected demons. You know, so it's really crazy. And again, I have to go back to how important our young girls are. so important, you know. I mean, to make sure that they have the best start in life and that they're aware of this system, you know, that's going to swallow them up and spit them out down the bottom. When they get put down to the bottom, you know, it's really sad, and I'm seeing it absolutely everywhere. I don't know about listeners, but obviously they are. I'm really shocked recently, and I bring up that because it's, you know, it's obviously, I said it's school holidays now, and I'm just watching these kids everywhere. The boys are sort of more all over the place. They're just doing their thing, you know. They got their skateboards and their surfboards, and they're trying to act cool and everything like this, and they're going around. But it's the girls that are the big worry, because that's what this this system is capturing and changing. And you know, it's like some kind of Rubik's cube. When this system, this hateful system, grabs their minds from out of these black devices and kinds of shifts their minds around, their brains around, like a Rubik's Cube, you know? It's like that box out of Hellraiser that brings forth the Cenobites that just eat people alive and rip them to pieces, you know? This demonic, I don't know if anyone feels it, but there's just this demonic entity in here, and it's really hates women, and it's getting them at younger and younger ages and really fucking them up so bad. I'm not even going to go into pornography now, but it's too much. But it's really unbelievable when I look at these Kardashians, and you know, for me, that's a really disgusting looking human being. I mean, I don't find that attractive at all. You know, but I guess this is what dumb men want, isn't it? I guess as young guys watch so much pornography, that becomes the norm, and that's what they want from young girls, and that's what they expect girls to do, and that's how they want them to look like and everything like that, and the girls are competing for the boys, and it goes on. But, you know, I look at these Kardashians with their fishy fake lips and their fake faces. They look like wax models, and these big out of shape boobs and these huge just grotesque bums, all like plastic brown toasty tanned. It's really gross. It gives me nightmares. It makes my skin crawl. They're not real women. They're not real people. I don't know what they are. Maybe they're genetically engineered. I don't know what they are. You know, I don't care, but I can't believe that, you know, parents are watching this take place. You know, I mean, if I was a parent of a teenage girl, just for example, and the, you know, if I was a parent of a modern teenage girl, man, I would be banning all of this shit, man. I don't care. And this is the hard thing, though, you know, because we're moving into a society, into a future where these kids are going to grow up and they're going to need to be able to use technology for work and jobs and all of this. So it's like we're being imprisoned by this system, and we're running out of places to run. You know, and so I think if there's no way out, you just have to do your best as a parent to make sure they understand the system around them and that they can critically break it down when they need to, and they can identify dangers, and they can identify what the system's trying to do to them and what the system's even doing to their friends and people around them, their friends around them at school. And they can identify that and work it out in their brains and know what's right and what's wrong. These are strong morals. These are strong values. These are strong ethics. This is what you get from strong family bonding. And young girls being brought up in a strong family unit with a strong father and mother who can instill these important, you know, life tools upon their daughters in particular. There's, you know, our girls are so important, you know, they really are. I'm not saying the boys aren't, I'm just saying that the girls are being attacked and eaten alive by this system, you know. And if you want to know what the devil is, forget all the bullshit that the religious people try and spoon feed you, okay? Forget all the horror movies and all the entities and people being possessed. It's in the technology, man. telling you, it's in there. And whatever's behind it, we'll try and work that out as we go forward. But if we are dealing with some kind of entity that's taken over here, that's infected society, the minds of human beings, whatever this is, man, it's in the technology. And once you give your kids those black devices, those black mirrors, you know, and you invite that vampire into the window. When there's a vampire tapping at the window, you don't open it, okay? Once you introduce these devices into your kids' and your daughters' lives, you're inviting this demonic entity in there. And it's going to slowly tear them to pieces, bit by bit, and it's going to turn them on themselves. That's what it does. That's what all this is about, this selfish culture where, you know, all these kids are becoming so self-obsessed, and they're teenagers, for God's sakes. They don't know anything. What do they know? 13, 14, 15-year-old kids. What world experience, what life experiences do they know? You know, I mean, think back to when you were a kid at that age, and now they're so bloody self-obsessed. I can't believe my eyes. I feel like strangling them. Everywhere I go now, it's driving me insane. Everywhere I go, and they're getting younger and younger, and I'm seeing these young kids, like young girls, you know, 13-year-old girls sitting there with these phones and these pouty lips, and they're doing these pouty lip movements and these head angles to their phone, and they're taking the selfies, you know, and then they're looking at it and they're not happy, and they're taking 100 more, and they're not happy with that, and they're taking 100 more, and they're taking these selfies and selfies and selfies as this entity, as this thing behind this black mirror, these screens, drags them and sucks them in and makes them more and more self-obsessed by tricking the ego, you know, by saturating it, and the ego starts to take over, and they create these double monsters, you know. It's like you got this kid at home, but there's a monster there as well, and it's this self-obsessed monster. And the other crazy thing I'm noticing with kids now is they're so bloody impatient, and a lot of people are becoming like that as well. I've talked a lot about this, but children, even now, I notice they're getting really, really impatient, and I think, my God, some of these parents, you know, there's no, like with kids now, they've done and been everywhere. The parents, every weekend, they take them absolutely everywhere. They take them on trips overseas and around the country, and they take them to all these restaurants and parks and zoos and everywhere. And these kids are playing all these video games, and they've got all these devices and everything. And the more technology that gets introduced into their lives, and the more they use the technology in these phones, and they're more on, and the more time they spend on these social media outlets, the more selfish and self-obsessed and damaged they become. But the more their attention span seems to shrink. And it's like with some of these modern kids, I don't know what the parents do on the weekends. You know, you take them to the zoo, you walk in, you just basically got to go, you know, there's the koalas, there's the kangaroos, there's the monkeys, there's the dolphins, there's the birds, and we're out the back. You know, you could have a bloody spaceship land in front of them with aliens walking out of the spaceship and inviting them on board, and they'd be like, what's next? You know, I probably sound like I'm being mean, but it's true. They get so bored so quickly. You know, you see the parents taking them to these movies in the school holidays, and it's just they're taking them to these movies. They can't stand 5 minutes of a movie. They can't stand 5 minutes of a movie. They're just absolutely bored out of their brains. So the parents are constantly got to go to the candy thing, and they've got to get popcorn, and they've got to take them to the toilets, and they've got to go here and there, all to because their kids can't sit down and watch a movie for 90 minutes. And they're like that, and I was taking note of all these new cartoons coming out on Netflix in particular, and YouTube, and all these cartoons, you know, designed for kids now, and they're all like these rapid-fire, very short cartoons, very colourful, very extremely, extraordinarily stupid, with these stupid characters. You know, you got characters that are donuts, things like that, and the silliest cartoons I've ever seen. I've never seen the cartoons so bad and so low, but I've never seen them so colourful and so fast moving and so quick. You know, there's like a couple of minutes and they're over, and there's like 5,000 episodes, and these kids are just burning through them, and they can't sit down and be quiet for half an hour and just play by themselves. You know, to sit there and play, to sit there and read, to sit there and be quiet. Where's that wonder gone, that sense of amazement? You know, you bring up a kid away from technology, you bring up a kid that's not watching any TV and doesn't have any of these devices, and they're amazed by things. You know, everywhere you take them, everything you do, even if you just go down the park, wherever you go, everything, they're so much more open and they absorb everything like a sponge, and they seem to enjoy everything more. But I'm just seeing modern kids, they got these attention spans like a rubber band. It just snaps back, snaps back, snaps back. And they're moving too quick. Their brains can't keep up with the technology because their brains aren't properly developed yet, you know. They're only young, and they're getting smashed over the head with all this technology and all this content and violent content. And these young girls who are only barely in primary school, they're getting smashed over the heads with all this content on Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook, and God knows where the hell they go. It's like a bottomless pit of pure evil, and they're going in there and they're looking at these demented, disturbed demons with fake lips, and they want to look like that. So these demons, you know, on their holiday resorts, on their tropical beaches, with their bikinis on and their plastic faces and their plastic lips and their plastic hair and their plastic eyes and their plastic boobs and their plastic bums and their plastic fake tans. They're on, you know, they're there, and they're on the beaches, and they've got these glossy magazine covers and everything, and they're on the photos in there, and it's sucking them in. And unfortunately, it's really sad for our young girls in society, because they're not recognizing and they're not being taught to recognize this danger. Danger, 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 danger. Fire, fire, fire. Get out of the building. You know. And it does, I think it comes back to the parents. I can't understand, and you know, I can't tell anyone what to do. You know, this is a way for me to air my opinions and my worries and what I think, what's going on, and trying to break it down. But I don't know what's wrong with modern parents. I'm just, I can't understand it. And I do see that a lot of these, parents, they do live in these, bubbles, and they live in these smart homes now where they themselves use a lot of technology, and all the family watches the technology and the Netflix and everything, and there's devices everywhere and laptops and tablets and phones and everything. I think it's just being so normalized now, and it's as society goes down the sewer pipes without even knowing it. Now, shifting here in regards to technology and what teenagers may be watching, I'm pretty damn convinced now that modern pornography is turning boys at a young age, men, into rapers. And so I'll just go through some information here. Porn and sex crimes, and the connection between porn and sex crimes, because I've seen this a little bit, and it's something that you won't see on the news. Not mentioning it, you know. They call me a bad parent, these fucking newspapers and these disgusting journalists. They get on there and they call us bad parents because I want to protect my child from medical assault, and I don't want them jabbed with snake venom and to be made sick, and I want to protect them, right? I'm a bad parent. I'm a child abuser. Why aren't the papers coming out and mentioning this stuff? Why aren't the Murdoch newspapers and their disgusting, low-life, spineless columnists coming out and talking about this stuff, about teenagers watching pornography and young boys are being turned into rapists? You know, no, you're a bad person if you don't want to, you know, have your child assaulted with a deadly weapon, stuck with a needle, you know, and drugged up, turned autistic by their machines. You're a bad person, you see. If you want a normal, healthy, happy child in a loving home and to guide them with honor and principles and strength and dignity, you're a bad person, you see. No, they want your kids to be watching porn on drugs and all screwing each other and fuck their lives up. That's what they want. And I'll say it again, I've said it a million times, and I didn't know this when I was young. When kids are young and they're confused and they're angry at the world and they don't know why, they turn against the world and they rebel. They get in trouble with the police, they pollute their bodies with drugs and alcohol and cigarettes, and they think they're really tough, and they get in trouble and they treat people around them like shit, and they do all this because they think they're cool, and they wear all this dark clothes, and they get into all these dark movies, and they go around, they have sex and all this stuff, and they get into all this kind of darkness, and they think that they're rebelling against the system. They're not. They're playing into the system's hands. That's what the system wants you to do. That's what it is breeding. It is laughing. Thank you very much. It is eating. That is the system's bread and butter. So, you know, that's unfortunately what I didn't realize as a teenager, of course. You know, I knew there was something wrong with the world. I knew there was something wrong with the society around me. And I knew there was something definitely wrong with the schools that I got put in. And I rebelled against it and I snapped back. And I thought that I was rebelling against that system. I didn't know I was playing into its hands. That's what they want you to do. That's what they want your kids to do. And it's looking at these articles. There's a report here, and there's not a lot of formal research on it. But the FBI's, I guess this is obviously coming from the US, the FBI's own statistics show that pornography is found at 80% of the scenes of violent sex crimes or in the home of the perpetrators. So that's pretty tough to ignore. So there's a lot of people, and especially the porn industry, obviously, but there's a lot of mainstream media and articles that come out that try and say that there's no connection here, that's ridiculous, that men are going to rape, they're going to rape. It doesn't have anything to do with pornography. So we'll look at some concerning stats. There is more than enough evidence, like findings from the FBI, that prove there is a link between pornography and sex crimes. In fact, here's a bunch of evidence about that connection. The Michigan State Police Department found that pornography is used or estimated or imitated in 41% of sex crimes they have investigated. So the men are raping girls, and in 41% of cases, they're imitating the violent pornography that they're watching on the computer. The University of New Hampshire did a study that showed that the states with the highest readership of pornographic magazines, including Penthouse, also have the highest rape rates. Dr. Victor Klein did research that showed how consumers who become addicted to pornographic materials begin to want more explicit or extreme material and end up desiring to act out what they're seeing. That's an important one. Look at the pornography today and compare it with the pornography, 10 years ago in the 90s and then in the 80s. You know, go and do a little experiment, have a look. I know people will be like, I'm not looking at that, I'm not going on, but you can see it. You know, have a look at the pornography in the 80s, how they just built it all up to where it is now, to this breaking point, and have a look at how extreme and violent it is now. It's almost like snuff movies. It's violent, sadistic, vindictive, horrible rape. That's what's going on these movies. And all the biggest websites in the world are these, Pornhub and RedTube and all of them. I did a whole podcast with Janice Barcelo talking about this. Even in New York City, they had these huge neon advertisements up right in the city associating Pornhub with love. They're associating violent rape scenes in pornography now with love. See, that's love. And so there you go. So, you know, as the boys you know, watch more and more of this. Obviously, it's very obvious that they're going to want to see more violent content. And then they're going to want to act this out with girls. And I've said this before. I was listening to a radio show, and they were talking to like 15, 16-year-old boys, and other boys, and they all watched hardcore pornography. And the guy asked a couple of the boys what they expect from a girl on a first date, and they said blowjobs and anal sex. These are 15-year-old boys. They don't even know what that means. They don't even know what they're talking about. They're clueless, absolutely clueless. They've been brainwashed into thinking that that's what they need, because, again, they haven't been taught to understand the system around them. It's eating them alive. Dr. James Dobson interviewed Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy, the serial killer. Ted Bundy was a Jew. A lot of people don't know that, but a lot of these so-called serial killers were Jews. And we know these Jews can be very sadistic. And I wonder about these cases like Ted Bundy. There's a Netflix movie on this guy where they glamorize it all, you know. But some of these guys, I'm just thinking it was David McGowan. I'll get that up in a minute and promote David's work. He talked about how these serial killers were manufactured, or perhaps they may have been manufactured, or even had doubles that committed the murders, and they were put up there as a front, you know, to instill horror and fear into society. Indeed. Get that up here. Yeah, the specter of the marauding serial killer has become a relatively common feature on the American landscape. We all grew up with it, folks. The serial killers, you know. Reactions to these modern day monsters range from revulsion to morbid fascination. More morbid fascination. People were fascinated with Ted Bundy. Even young women thought that he was just so handsome. Fascination that is either fed by or a product of the saturation coverage provided by the print and broadcast media. Now, you see with Ted Bundy's case, he was a serial murderer and raped and, you know, killed all those women horrifically. That was broadcast. The case was broadcast on national TV in the United States, to the point where he actually represented himself. It was just a comedy. You can watch all those, that old footage on YouTube as well, and the documentaries on it. A serial killer representing himself in the courts for the world to see. So that's a really important one that David McGowan was covering here, this saturation of these serial killers, you know, put out and broadcast by the media, you know, and a dizzying array of books and documentary films and websites and movies, the prevalence in Western culture of images of serial killers and mass murderers has created in the public mind a consensus view of what a serial killer is. So you get a lot of these serial killer documentaries. I know that a lot have come out, and they were so popular as well. So most people are aware to some degree of the classic serial killer profile. But what if there is a much different profile, one that has not received much media attention? In the book Program to Kill, acclaimed and always controversial author David McGowan takes a fresh look at the lives of many of America's most notorious accused murderers, focusing on the largely hidden patterns that suggest that there may be more to the average serial killer story than meets the eye. Think you know everything there is to know about serial killers, or is it possible that sometimes what everyone knows to be true isn't really true at all? Very interesting. So it's a completely different take on the serial killers that you grew up with and watching and everything like that. So, you know, Ted Bundy was a classic because I watched this new movie on him, and it was just incredible how they set that up for national television. and kind of turned him into this celebrity, and how, you know, it looked like he was manipulating everybody around him and everything like that, but they turned it into a soap opera. And they put that out in the world, and they showed in a court of law the horrific things that he did to these women, you know, cutting their breasts off and chopping them to pieces and raping them and all of this. And these young girls, they were watching all this, but they still thought that he was a sexy man, or there was something about him, you know, even though he was creepy, there was something about him that was charismatic, and they were kind of drawn to him in this way. But this is very interesting how this took place. So that's a book by David McGowan, Program to Kill, The Politics of Serial Murder. I actually had a chance to chat with David McGowan to get him on a podcast, but we had a terrible Skype connection and he had cancer at the time. And he was undergoing chemotherapy and passed away. But such a sweet guy. So you can get some pretty incredible long interviews on YouTube as well. So if you go on YouTube, you can type in David McGowan. That's MCGOWAN, Program to Kill. And you can also see a lot of great talks he gave promoting his book on the whole 60s revolution, the whole 60s movement, and Laurel Canyon, that will really change your mind about the music scene back then. Everything's manufactured, folks. Everything in our lives. It really is the Truman Show. Everything's manufactured up to this point today. We're all being steered like cattle in a direction, and we're being constantly distracted's the word I'm looking for. Tongue twisted, distracted. Constantly being distracted by all this entertainment. And everything that's going on, and then every now and then they'll scare the hell out of everyone with a terrorist attack and terrorist alerts and all of this, you know. It's the same program all through history, and you look at this man programming the public, you know, programming the minds of the public to associate and accept serial murder, but also instill massive amounts of fear into their subconscious to keep them unaware spiritually as well of who they really are, and constantly distracted away from who they really are. Just keep you in that sea of fear, folks. So I'll go back here. We're talking about this interview with Ted Bundy, one of America's most notorious serial killers. On the day before his execution, Bundy said that the most damaging kinds of pornography, and he watched pornography, are those that involve sexual violence. The wedding of those two forces, as I know only too well, brings about behavior that is just too terrible to describe. So one of the worst serial killers in human history is talking about the marriage of two forces, okay, in pornography. And those two forces are sex and violence. And so that's what is being pushed. And that's what's being pushed on young children right now. Sex and violence. Horrific violence towards women. It defies belief. I've seen some documentaries just on TV where guys with the cameras, they'll follow these young girls from around the world, from Australia and everywhere, as they go over like moths to a flame to this porno industry run by Jews over there in the United States, I guess, in Silicon Valley or wherever it is. They all go over there to make these movies and get used up. It's unbelievable. And there's just an endless supply of young women doing it. It's something I'd never understand. It's just absolutely insane. They're being so desensitized, and they're so detached and disconnected with reality now that they think it's normal. That's normal to do that on camera. And it used to be all this thing about, oh, well, these girls have daddy issues. They're from broken homes. They might have been on drugs. They wanted money. But now, it's just, college girls doing it. All these young girls going into it to pay for their trips to the mall and their study, because it's just no big deal. That's where we're at in society now. It's really unbelievable that, being raped on camera is no big deal anymore. Two doctors noted in their research, based book, pornography and sexual aggression, that certain aggressive forms of pornography can affect aggressive attitudes towards women and can desensitize an individual's perception of rape. See, they're muddying the waters. Unbelievable. These attitudes and perceptions are furthermore directly related to actual aggressive behavior against women. They also found adult porn was connected with each of the 1,400 child sexual molestation cases in Louisville, Kentucky, and child porn was connected with the majority of them. A lot of pornography now, on the internet and these sites, they're getting these girls who are basically just turned 18, and they're making them look younger on the movies, when they're shooting in high definition, the makeup and everything, the way that everything's positioned and done, they're making these girls look very, very young, younger than 18. I mean, they're making them look 15, 16, stuff like that. 18-year-old girl, that is so young, my God. In my book, they're not even properly developed. Their bodies, physically or spiritually, mentally, they're going in and they're being raped anally and everything by all these criminals on the set of these films. And they look so young. So what's this going to do to the minds of married men out there? Men in their 40s, 50s or 60s, for example, who are living in the suburbs and, at home, and they're watching these young girls and they keep watching this, and they're watching hours of this torture rape porn of these girls that look like their own daughters and they look like 14, 15 years old. How's their perception going to be when they see these girls around them in the real world? That's what is not being discussed here. How are they, they're going to start thinking that these girls want to do these, these sex scenes with them, because that's what girls that age do, right? So that's a really important point there. Absolutely horrifying, really. Because I think that also, not only is the pornography turning men and boys into rapists, it's also creating pedophiles. And I think the really frightening thing, or the really frightening question would be, is hardcore pornography creating pedophiles out of men, or married men, for example, or men out there in society that weren't originally pedophiles or didn't have those tendencies? Are they being bred in this manner, in regards to how much they're watching? Another review of controlled studies found that extensive consumption of the type of pornographic material commonly sold at adult bookstores was positively correlated with an increased self-reported willingness to commit rape or other forced sexual acts. A sexual offenders clinic in Canada found an unexpected finding when they conducted a study of their patients over a period of 6 months. One of the rapists reported that he consumed consenting sex depictions to incite rape images in the process of preparing himself to attack a woman. Subsequent questioning revealed a further five rapists who made similar claims, and 10 of the 10 rapists who currently consumes pornography for enjoyment, not necessarily preparatory to offending, also said they consumed it to incite rape fantasies. So young men are having, they're fantasizing about raping girls after watching pornography. So this doctor, Zillman and Dr. Jennings Bryant showed that continued exposure to pornography had serious negative effects on beliefs about sexuality in general and on attitudes toward women in particular. So it's extraordinarily hateful. They also found that pornography desensitizes people to rape as a criminal offense. Very important. It desensitizes people to rape. Because they're watching it on the porno movies, and they think that's okay. And that massive exposure to pornography, and I've read articles on it where, you know, some men will look at pornography for like 14 hours. Massive exposure to pornography encourages a desire for increasingly extreme materials that depict violence, and such as rape. The more pornography they watch and the more violent it gets, it desensitizes them more, and they want more and more violent material. Individuals with predisposition for aggression have shown to be particularly drawn towards images of pornography and are more likely to expose themselves to such images in the future than lower-risk individuals. Moreover, a number of priming studies have shown that consumers with earlier risk characteristics may interpret sexual explicit material differently than lower risk individuals, such that pornography activates and reinforces inappropriate cognitive representations, hostility towards women, and fosters the development of sexual preoccupation in these consumers. A 2015 study, for instance, documented a strong correlation between increased internet availability in India and increasing rates of sexual offences against children, especially the rape of young girls. Has anybody seen those rapes in India? They were out on the news a while ago. I've been watching them for a couple of years. There was like these rapes where all these men were just raping these girls in public on buses and things like that. Just dozens of men grabbing these girls and just tearing their clothes off and violently raping them. What's going to happen to these countries like India, these countries that suffer from such poverty, around the world, these different countries with so much poverty and such high populations that have never had access to this kind of hardcore pornography via technology and internet. As these countries get bombarded with this new technology and Wi-Fi and internet systems, you know, because you can go to these countries, a lot of people who do travelings, you can go to some extraordinarily poor countries where people are dirt poor, but they've got all this technology around them, you know. In the Western countries, we've been dealt this blow incrementally over a long period of time. But these people, imagine it, you know, they're in these poor countries. One day they just get access to the internet and they turn it on and there's this sadistic hardcore pornography. It just shatters their minds. And then what happens? Well, our Jewish Zionist masters organize a plot to open the floodgates of Europe and let all these savages in there. Let them all in there because they've been watching all the pornography, hadn't they? All these Muslims and blacks in Africa and all these poor countries, they've been watching this hardcore sadistic rape where young, blonde Western women are getting raped and gangbanged. And they're going to open the flood doors into Europe. And what are they going to think when they see these blonde girls in Sweden and Germany? That they just want sex and they're nymphomaniacs who want to be raped. That's all there. So you can see all the dots are being connected here. bombard these poor countries and these where all these men are with hardcore pornography of young blonde pretty women getting raped, and then unleash them into Europe. Also, the huge blow of feminism on society and our women as well. And a lot of people don't know how the Rockefellers, Zionist Jews, Rockefellers re-engineered women. And I've saved a few articles. Good one, I think I put up from Humans Are Free. Talking about feminism as an excellent example of how the Rockefeller Foundation, this mega cartel, uses the awesome power of the mass media, and that's for propaganda, you are being programmed to control society in 40 years. Many women have lost touch with their natural loving instincts, and consequently the family is in disarray, is being smashed to pieces. This is a massive attack on the family unit, especially in the Western world, and sexual depravity is rampant and birth rates are plummeting, except for in these all these Muslim and so on countries in India and all this, and Asia and Africa, where it's exploding. They're letting him into Europe to breed with the Western white women to breed us out. That's what's happening. Exactly what they try to do with the Aboriginals, huh? So this is all coming from London. That's where it all comes from. This is a very evil system. Evil people behind this. So the woman's loving, instinctive, natural abilities are being sacrificed. She gives herself to her husband and children and is fulfilled by seeing them thrive and receiving their love and respect and gratitude in return. A woman makes this supreme sacrifice to only one man who will cherish her and love her and provide her with this family unit. And men instinctively want to fulfill this responsibility. This is the essence of the heterosexual contract, marriage. Female power in exchange for male power expressed as true love. Sex is the symbol of this exclusive bond. Marriage and family may not be for everyone, but it is the natural path for most. Feminism has trained women to reject this model as an old-fashioned oppressive stereotype, even though it reflects their natural instincts. A British writer reported overhearing two young women saying this: "All men are useless these days," one said. "Yes," said the other. "The trouble is that they haven't risen to the challenge of feminism. They don't understand that we need them to be more masculine, and instead they have just copped out." That's their logic. If women are less feminine, men will be more masculine. Men aren't designed to fight with women. They need to be affirmed by a woman's acquiescence and faith. When women constantly challenge them, men will cop out of marriage and family. Now that love and marriage have been discredited, women have nothing left to exchange for love but sex. Thus, many are unnaturally obsessed with appearance and give their bodies to all and sundry. Permanent love is not based on a woman's sex appeal or personality or achievements. Ultimately, it is based on self-sacrifice. We love the people who love us. The big picture, the central bankers, people do not realize that feminism is mass indoctrination because they cannot identify the perpetrators, the motives. Recently, Aaron Russo, the producer of Betty Bette Midler's movies and America Freedom to Fascism identified at all three, confirming what we have been saying all along. While trying to recruit Russo for the CFR, Nicholas Rockefeller told him that his family foundation created women's liberation using mass media control as part of a long-term plan to enslave humanity. He admitted they want to chip us. Google Rockefeller Foundation and Women's Studies and you'll get a 500,000 citations. The hidden goal of feminism is to destroy the family unit, which interferes with state brainwashing of control of the young. Side benefits include depopulation and widening tax base. Displacing men in the role of providers also destabilizes the family unit. A drastic paradigm shift is required to make sense of the word. The Rockefellers are part of the private central banking cartel that also controls media, defense, pharmaceutical, and other cartels. To protect their monopoly of credit and wealth, they are instituting a world police state, world government using the bogus 9/11 attacks, of course, and endless wars as a pretext. So these are all planned. 9/11 was, of course, planned as well. So the banking cartel needs a philosophy to justify mankind, enchaining mankind, locking them up. So it's talking about here the philosophy and Satanism. The cartel controls the world through a network of occult societies linked to Freemasonry, communism, the Vatican, and organized Jewry. Zionism, the highest occult rank, is known as the Illuminati. Modern Western culture is based on Freemasonry, which teaches that man and not God determines reality. Naturally, they need to overrule nature or natural law and spiritual laws in order to assert their own control over us. So that is the separating man from nature. That's been going on for a long time. And then we see the breaking up of the bond of the family unit. And they're also making women now more masculine and they're making men more feminine. We're seeing all these women's sports and playing now. It's just unbelievable. It's like men out there. Media eradicates love. Really interesting. And I think, hang on, give me a look here. Yeah, couldn't find. I had something I wrote down about this, but obviously, yeah, the media and the movies and, you know, just general culture, especially video clips, music clips, magazines directed at teenage girls. All those magazines that they read and the technology and everything eradicates love. It's an attack on love. Every facet of the mass media, movies, TVs, magazines, music, commercials, news, everything is all used for social control with the ultimate goal of enslavement. There is a direct connection between what happened in communist Russia and what is happening in America today. In both cases, the central banking cartel is asserting totalitarian control. The mass media's function is to distract us from this. I was talking about that before, right? Distraction, constant distraction, keeping you always distracted and always looking in the other direction so you don't look inwardly. And start to at least ask some questions about who you really are. That you've already got all the answers. You already know all the answers to any question. You've already got all the tools in you. It's all there. They just want you to forget about it. You know, creating masses and masses of people and elderly people now who have dementia. Isn't that amazing system? you know, being brought up in this system and poisoned, kept alive just enough so you can work and pay taxes. They don't want to kill you until you reach a certain age, you know. Just keeping you going to work and pay your taxes and feed them the energy that they need. And then, poof, they make you forget because you got dementia. So you don't even know what happened. How can you prepare for the death experience if you can't remember your life? They just wipe it away, you see. That's how much we mean to them. And as I've said a million times, most people will punch you in the face to protect the very system that's killing them off. The enemy. Stockholm Syndrome on steroids. That really is unbelievable. Interesting things. Yeah, it's all this global warming, you know, and then the politicians, the political fractions and the leaders and everything. Just pick up any paper any day of the week. Go down and pick up one of the papers and have a look at it. They're masters of distraction. And when you become awake to it, it seems so dumb. It's just so stupid, you know. You look at it and you just shake your head in disbelief, but they really are masters though, aren't they, in the way that they do. You look at these papers. Sometimes I grab some of the Rupert Murdoch papers, you know, the Daily Telegraph and stuff, and I just look at the way they write things and the way it's all laid out, how they lead you through the newspaper, how they put in little things, little segments, and then how they have their sports and gossip and weather and all this is just amazing. You could look at that as a view on life, on a reflection of life, a newspaper, because that's how people live their lives, like a newspaper. It's a daydream, you know, and I think that's how most people walk around, in a daydream. I was looking at this mind slop, and I just couldn't believe it, and how many people buy these papers, and they just read it. It's bizarre. You know, but yeah, constant distraction. In order to destroy the family, the media convinced women they could not rely on the heterosexual contract. So this is talking about Mina Blythe was the editor-in-chief of Ladies' Home Journal from 1981 to 2002. In her book Spin Sisters, How the Woman of the Media Sell Unhappiness and Liberalism to the Woman of America, 2004, she says the media sold women a career in exactly the same drum-banging way that the happy homemaker had been sold to their mothers. So the Illuminati undermining women's natural loving instincts using the following mantras. Men can no longer be trusted. So there's this whole demonization of men. I'm seeing it absolutely everywhere. The media in Australia hate men. These media people up there, they absolutely hate men. There's this whole witch hunt on men to demonize them, to make them evil. And all of this stuff that's going on. You have a look at some of these chat shows and things here, and morning breakfast shows and programming. It's just unbelievable, these vicious, vile, disgusting, bloodthirsty hyenas up there. Some of them, they hate men, they hate families, they hate the family unit, and they just constantly push this whole LGBTQ propaganda poison dart through the minds of the people sitting on their couches. So, you know, you can't trust men anymore. All men are unfaithful rats, abusive monsters, dishonest scum, all of the above. Women, on the other hand, were uber victims, flinty achievers who triumph despite the cavemen who want to keep them in their place and under the thumb. So these examples that I'm reading, women are victims by virtue of their sex. So they say the media sends one message loud and clear because we are women. We remain victims in our private lives, at work, in society as a whole. Thus, women must have a sense of grievance, entitlement and rebellion. Oh my goodness, women should be selfish. Liberation and narcissism have merged. Leisure now means time for yourself, spent alone or perhaps with one's girlfriends. So this was all like, what was that show? I think it was Sex and the City, if anyone watched that. Sex and the City hit our TVs around the 90s, maybe? Or maybe I'm wrong, around the late 90s. I remember when it came, I think it was in the 90s, yeah, Sex and the City. Unbelievable. I don't have time to go into that, but that was massive social engineering. That was one of the big ones. That's probably one of the biggest shows I could come up with in all this. Sex and the City was, that was mass manipulation on a gigantic scale. As women got netted in that position at that time, they swooped that TV show. Nothing's without purpose. That was all done at the exact time that it was supposed to. Believe me, those shows don't just get made and it comes in randomly. That was done at the exact time as women were being splintered here and basically herded into this queue where they thought that they would have to go out there with their girlfriends and drink and be sluts. So this is the beginning of this narcissistic liberation, this liberation of women to make them more narcissistic and self-centered, which I was talking about at the beginning of the podcast with the technology coming in now, the selfies. But all these shows, and you're watching those shows, it was definitely no kids and definitely no stable man or house or family. It was all about screwing every guy that you could, but definitely there was the no kids. Kids are just disgusting. Endless articles preaching the new feminist gospel, and that came out at that time as well with the Sex and the City. That was really pushed at that time. That's my opinion anyway. Indulging yourself as an important part of being healthy and a well-adjusted woman. So this was where all the industry really came in and sort of split the woman off from the family and made it all about me, me, me. And this is a lot of products behind this as well that they're selling, with the makeup industry and the perfume industry and the clothes industry and everything like this, and all the malls and shops and everything like that. You know, me, 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 me. Because you're just not a well-adjusted woman unless you're selfish and sleeping around and don't want kids or a family. So sex is not reserved for just for love and marriage. So magazines like Glamour and Cosmopolitan, that's a big one. Cosmopolitan's been doing this for a long time. If you have a look at all these magazines, they're all owned by Jews. Urge young women to put out on their first date. You see these Cosmopolitan and magazine, Glamour magazines that are directed to teenage girls. I've been in the library, the local libraries, a few times and just had a scour through them, just looking through them. They're actually teaching young girls to have sex with different guys on first dates. And there's articles in there sort of basically saying, how many guys can you sleep with in one night and all of this. So teaching young girls to be sluts and never have kids, never want a family, and be selfish and self-centered. That's what these magazines do. Anyone can go and pick up a Cosmopolitan magazine or Glamour magazine and have a look. And then go out in the streets and have a look at these young kids on their phones and what they're doing and how they're acting. There's no discussion of marriage or family. Because women just can't trust men enough to surrender themselves. Self-fulfillment lies in a career success and not husband and family. So the social rewards of holding down a job are critical to one's sense of dignity and self-worth, and all of this. So I'm not saying that women can't have jobs, only that they shouldn't be tricked out of having families if they want them. So I absolutely agree with that. I think it's great that women work. I'm not thinking that at all, like that 50s thing where women have to be at home all day doing the washing or anything like that. Don't get me wrong, if the ladies are listening, I think, you know, women have to work. It keeps your mind busy. I mean, it's great to have a job and get out there and work. But there's a fine line here. That's what I think. I think this is fair because there is a fine line. As long as women aren't being tricked to think that that's all that matters and that they don't need a family, and they need to act like the women in Sex and the City. You understand? If, you know, women at that time who were watching Sex and the City and those Sex and the City movies, well, it was all about, you know, having a job, working, but no family, no love, no kids, none of that in your life, and just screwing people. Wasn't it? So I think a balance has to be struck here. You know, we need balance with everything that we do. And we need to critically break things down and work out a way how we can create that balance and keep it running throughout our lives to keep things smooth. So they're saying many women are schizophrenic as they attempt to reconcile their natural instincts with a constant bombardment, I guess, from the media and everywhere to do the exact opposite. So what that's saying is women have this natural instinct, but they're being told to do the absolute opposite. And they're at a crossroads, a wreckage, a breakdown, a smashed system, broken families, dysfunctional people, all going every which way and in every direction, but in the right direction. But at the same time as all this is going on, these pornographic magazines like Playboy magazine are aiming a similar message to men. You don't need to get married to have sex. Marriage and children are boring. This is actually, I did a podcast a couple of years ago where this was in the mainstream media, folks, where some schools were caught in New South Wales, I think in Queensland, definitely in New South Wales and Australia, and they were teaching kids this. That really, basically, a mum and dad marriage is kind of boring. It's just not needed or wanted anymore. So you see how things are going here. You can see this is all part of the feminism thing. Too much to go through, but you can see just in this little bit that I'm going through what they're doing to men and what they're doing to women, breaking the family up, breaking, you know, women away from their natural instincts, confusing them. And then at the same time putting the pornography in the men's laps, which is saying to them that, you know, you don't need women, they're sluts anyway, and who needs children, this is all boring, you just want to have sex. So the constant media drumbeat is organized brainwashing. Society has been totally subverted by the central banking cartel using a satanic cult Freemasonry to select its lackeys. Most Freemasons are unaware of this truth, but the owners of the mass media know firsthand. We used to say as American as motherhood or apple pie, only Satanists would trash motherhood. Well, that's what I've been talking about. I mean, talk a lot about that with guys like Jim West, don't I? I mean, they're attacking growing fetuses in a mum's belly. You know? A growing child that hasn't even entered the world yet, they're attacking it with this technology, genetically. You know, what kind of system does this if it's not satanic? It's like, you know, these medical interventions, they're ritualistic in their nature. It's an attack. I think I've mentioned that before as well. I take a lot of notes from movies. I remember that disgusting movie, American Pie. supposed to be a comedy with all these Jewish boys in there, and there was a scene in the original American Pie movie where the Jewish high school student is having sex with the apple pie. It's quite a famous scene, and the father comes in and he's having sex with the warm apple pie. And it sort of maybe what made me wonder, you know, it's, you know, that old saying, it's as American as apple pie. Like America is humble and sweet like apple pie, and, you know, the Jewish kid is screwing it. So they're trashing motherhood. Far from empowering women, feminism has unsexed many. It has deprived them of a secure and honored role and reduced them to sex objects and replaceable worker drones. Luciferians promote rebellion because they are defying what is natural and healthy. Like their symbol, Lucifer, they wish to play God. God's love can be seen in a woman's dedication to her husband and children. Thus, the bankers must destroy it. There you go. Absolutely. I guess if you want to call this system or these bankers or these people satanic, you can. I think you know, that's just a word, Satan and the devil and everything like that. I think it goes far deeper than that. They're definitely using some form of black magic. Yeah, for sure. But anyway, a lot to go in there. But just trying to connect the dots. But the attack on the family unit is absolutely everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. All you got to do is turn on that black box, read the papers, read the magazine. You just walk out in the world and it's absolutely everywhere. This attack on women, the attack on family, the attack on men, the attack on children. And all these shows directed at teenagers now that are like really cool for teenagers to watch, and even cartoons, they're all filled with bisexuals and lesbians and all of this, and there's no families or anything in there whatsoever. And I'm saying this because it's not that, it's just I'm trying to break it down, but I'm just watching the watchers, you know. I'm trying to paint myself into infinity, you know. Painting a picture and then painting a picture of the painter, painting a picture, and painting a, you know, and so on and so on. You know, painting yourself into infinity is the saying. I've read that out before, you know. Who's watching the watchers, you know? And who's watching the watchers who are watching the watchers? You know, so, you know, this is, I'm just watching society and I know what the young people are watching and I know what they're doing and I know what they're participating in. And I'm watching both sides, almost like I'm standing outside of it, almost like sitting above your body, looking down at your body. I'm trying to look at it like that. I'm trying to watch everything and see what this side's doing to this side, how they're reacting. You know, if they're going to survive. But they are caught in the spider's web 100%. It is full on. And you've got all these huge feminist, highly funded movements like the LGBTQ movement now who are coming out after men, demonizing men for even looking at a woman now. Men don't even want to think they're going to look at a woman now because they're just evil. And making women into these self-obsessed cold machines that just go to work and don't want anybody. And then I see these young 14-year-old girls on their phones, and every time I see them, they seem to lose another part of themselves, you know. They've just kind of been blowing away in the wind. They're these sort of empty, cold, kids just staring into these devices as it just saturates them and claws away at them and sucks them in deeper, their egos become more and more self-obsessed in that mirror of self-obsession. That's never good enough. It's always a crack in it and they can't fix the cracks, and every time they try and fix a crack, another crack appears. You know, and they want this stuff in their lips. They want that stuff injected here. They want to look like this. They want to look like that. They want to be better all the time. And then they look in that mirror of deception displayed by the human ego that's being manipulated by these entities. And the cracks keep appearing and keep appearing and just gets more and more and more and just keeps shattering into little pieces, you know. And it just seems to go into infinity. Infinity as it sucks our young people down that hole of darkness, you know. And so I think whenever you can, in your family life, with your friends, with yourselves, your own family, whoever it is, if you're involved in local schools, if you talk to young people and young girls in particular, talk to them about this stuff, try and engage with them. Every young one is important, you know. See if they'll engage with you about what I'm talking about here, and engage with a conversation, and then try and get to them a little bit and chip away and find out what's ticking in there. Because they're being attacked, they're being assaulted by this system. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll be back soon. And thanks for the members. Really helps me tick along here. Great to have you on board. Stay safe. Till next time.